Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Happy Thanksgiving to our audience. I hope you all are enjoying or have enjoyed this holiday, surrounded by friends and family or whatever community you're a part of. I hope that you spend some time thinking about the things you're grateful for and enjoying the company of those around you. I know that's what me and my family do every Thanksgiving, and it's just kind of a special time to pause and begin reflecting on the past year that we've had, and really kind of get ready for the final push for Katina Ministries. December is always the busiest month of the year for us, so Thanksgiving is often a kind of a final moment we all have together as a family before my dad and my uncles go on the road, and several of us who are on the team travel around the country. And we're looking forward to seeing you all on the Hope Has Come Christmas tour. If you visit thekatinas.com, you can see where we're going to be, and we'd love to see you on the road. I'm going to be there, so please, if you come to any of the shows, look for me at one of the tables in the back. I'll be there, and I'd love to get to know you, get to meet you, or see some familiar faces who I've gotten to see on the road over the last several years. But today, as we begin our final episode of this short mini-series that we have, I'm excited to have, for the first time in a while, a first-time guest on the show. And so, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mr. Boaz Roebuck. Boaz, thank you for being here, bro.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
Dude, I'm excited to have you here at the crib, and I know probably more about you than our audience knows. They've heard your name, believe it or not, and I know that there's a lot of people who support Love Squared prayerfully and financially who know of your name, Boaz, but they've probably never heard your voice before. And I'd love to give you a chance as we begin just to kind of introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us, you know, who you are, where you're from, what you do, anything that you think might be important for people to know about you.
Yeah, so I'm from Spring Hill, Tennessee area. I grew up here most of my life, and I'm currently a student at Lipscomb University. My program that I'm in, or degree, is in pastoral leadership, and it's we call it the 4+1. It's 4 years undergrad, 1 year postgrad, and I'm a junior, so I've got a couple years left, and I'm interning with Love Squared. I'm an associate, so get to spend time with high schoolers and pour into their lives and watch them grow, and it's one of the coolest things I get to do. So
awesome, bro. Well, it's good to have.
Oh, and I'm married. Forgot to say that. That's a big deal. Married to awesome lady by the name of Haley Roebuck, who is the greatest friend to everybody she knows.
So. That's beautiful, bro. Yes. And you're still somewhat newlywed, right? When was the wedding?
Yeah, we got married June 7th.
June 7th. That's my birthday. Have we talked about that
before? No, that's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. June 7th. This is crazy, too. So I was born on June 7th. My mother and father-in-law, their wedding anniversary is June 7th as well.
No way. Yeah.
And now wow. I know Boaz and Haley got married on June 7th.
That's crazy.
It's a great day.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, it's really exciting to have you here with us, and it's a treat for me to have someone who grew up in the same place I grew up in, Williamson County. And Williamson County has been where my family has been for over 30 years now, so it's home for us. And as you know, lots of things have changed over the last several years in the county, but we really feel called to this area. It's where God has us, and there's a reason why, you know, what Love Squared does is a lot of it is focused right here where you and I both grew up. And so I'd love to hear just a little bit from you about your experience with Love Squared, maybe not as an associate right now, but growing up here in, you grew up in Thompson Station, you went to Independence High School. Like, how were you introduced to Love Squared? What was it like? What was it told? How was it sold to you? What made you decide to like check it out? Just tell us what your experience was as a student in Love Squared.
Yeah, so I actually didn't hear, I knew about Love Squared, but I didn't really like hear about it or like, I guess, get invited to it till my senior year.
Okay.
Ben Miller, who's one of my really good friends in high school, who now he actually, he helps us out, volunteers with us at Indie Group, so I get to see him a lot more, which is awesome. But he invited me out, and I was already really involved with just a Bible study that some of my friends' dads started leading. We called it Ignite. It's Jerry Walling and Michael Curtin. And so it was really similar. And I loved what, you know, Ben had told me about it. But since I was already really plugged in with like mine, I didn't end up actually going at all in high school. And then when, I was a freshman, I actually was at UT my freshman year.
Oh, really?
So I was in Knoxville. And when I was there, Matt Rogers, who's a great friend of mine, he was my mentor in high school.
Former guest, friend of the show.
Yes, he's awesome. He had thrown my name out there to Jeremy Williams, who is an awesome guy and who kind of leads what we do with the high schooler ministry. And then Jeremy got my number from him and gave me a call, and Eli Katina gave me a call, and they were like, you know, we just wanted to get to know you. And so then Jeremy and I ended up, we fast forward to last year, my sophomore year, I was at Lipscomb, my first year at Lipscomb. We, last semester in like January, we're supposed to meet for the first time in person. And he just wanted to hear more about my story and just see if Love Squared was ever something that, you know, I'd consider and for me to hear more about it. And we ended up going to the wrong coffee shop. So we both went to the Well, but I went to the one off Harding and he went to the one right next to Lipscomb, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm a commuter. So I wasn't even there. But it was funny. We still talked on the phone and he told me more about what Love Squared did. And I'd already heard a little bit, but I didn't know. I guess the emphasis with families and that's a big emphasis for me going forward in ministry and even now. And so I just saw it as a great opportunity. And from there, it was kind of just like, I know you said not as an associate yet, but that was kind of like me really, really seeing how it would be a great fit.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Let me ask you, so you said you're studying, your like program at Lipscomb is pastoral ministry? Is
yeah, that pastoral leadership.
Pastoral leadership. Sir. Okay. I graduated from Lee.
Awesome, yeah.
Which is another Christian school here in Tennessee. It was called pastoral ministry. That was the degree at Lee.
But yeah.
So before we get into you being an associate, I feel like it's important to ask, what made you choose that that degree program at Lipscomb?
Yeah, there's a lot there. So I was at, like I mentioned before, I was at UT my freshman year, and I'm
guessing there's no pastoral leadership program
there's
at UT.
None. No, there's not. And even the theology's not the same theology necessarily. But I was there. I was doing creative media. My sister, Samantha Costas now, because she's married. She's a sports broadcaster. And we were really, she was my best friend in high school. And so we both loved sports. And, you know, we'd always go head to head in some arguments. And I got into the creative side my senior year. My family was experiencing a lot of financial hardship. And my sister was moved out and was about to get married and all the things. And so it was really just me and just my parents. And I had really found, I don't know, a lot of discomfort just with, there was a lot of weight on my shoulders. And as you know, like Williamson County, that's like not common to not have all your needs met mm-hmm. by your, which is, you know, I was still like roof over my head, running water. And like, that was, you know, huge. There were just some days where things were a lot harder, or like because of some bills or, you know, something like that. Like yeah. I would deliver groceries. That's what I was doing.
So Instacart.
I'd get out of class. Instacart. Yeah. Yes, sir. I'd do that. And the creative side, I tried to, you know, kind of make my own little business out of it. I did a little bit, and I was really just set on like just having enough. Mm. And I was kind of afraid. I had always wrestled with ministry, mm-hmm. but I was kind of afraid of like what that looked like financially. I'd only heard bad things, and and so I kind of ran to Knoxville and just wanted to make money.
Yeah.
And I just found like myself really empty, and I guess all the hurt that I was like chasing, or I guess running away from, like caught up to me. Mm-hmm. And there's just a moment where my mom was like a huge role in my life. Just she and my dad, but you know, she specifically, very charismatic. I went through a lot of, kind of a buzzword right now, but spiritual warfare in mm-hmm. high school, and just me like forming my understanding of it, or, you know, finding scripture and prayer, rhythms that would help with that. Like she was a huge part of. And so mm-hmm. we grew really close, and, that senior year was really rough on our relationship. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for me to, have that. When I got to Knoxville, I was kind of just staying away or removed from that without even really realizing it.
Yeah.
And then one day I just got out of my 8 a.m. English class, mm-hmm. and it was like a mile and a half walk back on those Knoxville hills.
Yeah.
And I just got back to my dorm and just hit my knees and was just bawling my eyes out. Mm-hmm. Just felt like I wasn't doing anything, and that I was running from something I didn't even really realize. And I called my mom, and I just was like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is obviously not where I'm supposed to be. And through that semester, I just kind of experienced that more and more. And it was like a deeper, I don't want to say depression, but just this like kind of hopelessness,
mm-hmm.
Kind of a big word, despondency. Mm. Like just this like, I don't know, like, what does my future look like? Like, what am I living for?
Because yeah.
I had known what abundant life was. Like, I had known the John 10:10. I'd known that. And I'd kind of forfeited it with feeling like my physical needs weren't being met. And so, I was delivering groceries back on break from my first semester, about to go back for my second semester at UT. And I was listening to, shout out to the Unashamed podcast with Phil and, and Jace, and Jace was talking about his Bible degree with, Zach Dasher. And
okay.
I just had this piece, where I was just like, man, that sounds really like, I had that hope I hadn't had in a long time. And I was like, wow, what is that? And I just kind of started praying in that moment. And the Lord doesn't do this often, but I had felt like the Lord was speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you're going to go to Bible school.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Like I had this like real, real joy. And and so then, you know, real quick right after, I had another thought. It was like, but you're not going to say anything about it for 30 days to anybody. It's just going to be between you and I. And I was like, holy cow. That is the opposite of what I want to do right now.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to make it happen. That's very much who I am. I'm pretty extroverted, and I'm also like, I don't know, I guess kind of controlling. Uh-huh. So I'm like, how can I make it happen right now?
Yeah.
And for the next 30 days, I just prayed and sought out where that was. And then I found Lipscomb, the 4+1. And it was just, the Lord just let it fall into place. And
wow.
It's a blessing to be there and super grateful for it. But I know that's a long story.
No,
it's just
that's
hard.
Amazing, dude. Yeah. I hear a little bit of the Jonah story in your...
Oh, for sure.
In your testimony. Yeah. And I think there's that despondency that you were talking about. Like, I've definitely been there. I was there, like, my first year of college, too.
Mm.
And I don't know. I feel like maybe a lot of kids who grow up in a place like Williamson County...
Mm.
Can experience that because we grew up in a place where the path to, like, quote unquote success is pretty clear.
Yeah.
Like, you go to, we have good high schools here, you get a good education, you pick a, which the SEC school of your choice, right. And you go there. Your parents might have gone there. Your grandparents might have gone there.
Yeah.
You kind of do your time there, and then you come back and get a job, and that's that. Yeah. And I think there's some, for some people, that's how it works. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, like, I was blessed in a way. I didn't see it as a blessing at the time, but looking back on it now, it is a blessing that I grew up, neither of my parents went to college. So that, like, pressure of going to, like, the big school or whatever was not really there for me.
Yeah.
And so my parents gave me the freedom to kind of make choices that some of my peers, most of my peers, were not making.
Right. Yeah.
And we don't have to get into my story, but I do think that, like, it can happen to a lot of people, especially who grew up in our community, where you get to that school or the place that path that was, you know, so well kept and clear for everyone, and you get there, it's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And I commend you for being in the minority in listening to that, whatever that thing is in your soul that's saying, I'm not where I'm supposed to be right
now.
And I would say that's the Lord talking to you. Oh, but whatever it is, like, there's a lot of people who hear that voice and they just ignore it, or they stuff it, or they just, for the sake of perseverance or, like, fighting the good fight. And so that's a hard thing to do, especially when you're a freshman in college. And to have the maturity and the humility to listen to the Lord at that phase of your life is a testament to your character and to God's grace over your life. Well, that's exciting. So you're a junior now at Lipscomb.
Yes,
so
sir.
It's the 4+1. So does that mean you have, like, what, 2.5 years left?
Or? Yeah, 2.5 years.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So where does being an associate at Love Squared, where does all that fit in? Because I imagine you're very busy. You're a student. You're newly married. And you're a Love Squared associate. How does it all fit together?
Yeah, man. I'm still trying to figure that out. It's like a daily, just figuring out, like, what's most important and putting those things in place. The cool thing about my degree, and also kind of the hard thing, is it's the most comprehensive, like, theology degree or ministry degree at Lipscomb.
Okay.
And so they try to make it, like, as compact. You take the most Bible classes as you can in 4 years. They just kind of jam-pack you so that when you graduate, the goal is that you can go straight into a pastoral role or straight into And so one of the requirements is the 3 internships. So over your 4 years, and I lost a year because I wasn't in the program. And so they just try to get you as much experience and as much just honestly knowledge that you can get in those, you know, short years.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so this year I'm taking Greek. I'll be taking it the full year, and it is extremely tough.
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest class I have. And so it's really a lot of, like, okay, where can I've always been kind of like a mental scheduler.
Hmm.
And so just a lot of, like, okay, when can I, like, go through flashcards or, like, go through paradigms, and when can I, like, call Haley and just check in. Or, you know, when I get home from, you know, indie group, like, what can I do to prepare for class the next day, or just to, you know, meet the needs of Haley or whatever it may be. And so it's just a lot of, I guess, discernment, like, what's right now. I struggle a lot with the what's right now. I think of, I guess, the future a lot, and it's not even like the broad future. It's just like, dang, I got that Greek exam and systematic theology exam next week. And so sometimes I can get too caught up in that I miss the right now. But just trying to be, like, where my feet are, and also, like, it impacts, you know, when I am hanging out with high schoolers doing contact work or whatever, like, it impacts them when it's not about being fake, because I'm very real. Like, I let them know, like, guys, I'm going to be extra human tonight because I just studied for whatever. But it doesn't, like, when you're not, you know, in the moment, they can kind of tell.
Oh, for sure.
And you don't want them or Haley, especially Haley, to be to think that they're not, you know, kind of worth your attention.
Yeah.
And so just a lot of, like you said, God's grace in my story for sure right now. Need that. And then also just discernment, relying on the Holy Spirit. I don't always listen, but, you know, that's the secret recipe to making it work. So
yeah. Let me ask you this one more thing about Love Squared, because you said this word and it's been brought up in past episodes as well, contact work.
Yeah.
Which when I'm on the road and people ask, well, what do your associates do, contact work always comes up.
Yeah.
But I never really have enough time to like kind of dig into what
for
is
sure.
contact work. So I'd love to ask you, what is contact work, Boaz?
Yeah, contact work, well, here's another word that will probably need to be defined. It's incarnational ministry. And it's my favorite thing about Love Squared, because we don't want it to just be a one-night thing that kids come to once every 7 days, and it's just kind of a refresh. Because to be honest, we've all experienced that. Once when we've grown up in the faith, and it can feel a little... it doesn't feel dense. It feels very hollow. And it's like, well, what happens in the empty, like the rest of the week? Or do you still care about me? Do you still see me? And there's some students that just simply aren't being seen. And they might not be seen at home. They might not be seen at school. And it might not be, you know, anyone's fault specifically, but that's just what's happening. And so our goal is that, you know, nobody would go unseen, that we can help. At least. So, you know, going to football practices, just going where we're welcome and trying to find new avenues into schools that we can. And so like contact work for me specifically looks like going to football practices in the fall. And right now we're game planning how we can go to track practices and, you know, for some spring sports. And, you know, knowing students already that are in the ministry and are, you know, receiving the blessings of the ministry that are in these sports helps a ton, because when, you know, students and players, student athletes care, then hopefully good, well, at least I'll say this, good coaches care.
And
it's like, okay, well, what are they doing that, you know, other players can benefit from, or, you know, our other students can benefit from? And so we just try to be a blessing, you know, be a blessing wherever we can. And we have this phrase that we say we do contact work with everybody. So it's with coaches, it's with students, it's with athletic trainers, it's with anybody and everybody we see. It's just incarnational ministry. It's being the real deal, living, you know, the faith. It's the book of James lived out. It's faith and deeds together. It's not one or the other. It's all, it's always together. It's the John 15, abide in me and I'll abide in you. It's that idea. And so I love it because it feels real. And I felt some really good ministries just miss that part where it's just what's happening during the week. And so, yeah, I'm learning a lot. And so it's a blessing for sure.
I think it's, I've seen it over the years with you and even with past associates, like seeing them interact with students, in particular with young men in, you know, high school age young men, like I have this, I'm so grateful that it's something that's happening in like the school that I graduated from and other schools in my community, because, you know, especially at that age, I think about myself when I was 15, 16, 17 years old, how much value I could have gotten just seeing a face on a regular basis who, one, I know was someone who was safe and like someone who I could trust. But also a face that pointed me towards the Lord, like whether you don't even have to say it out loud. Like when those kids are, when they see you show up at their practice or at their games or at whatever, whether they know it or not, like they're being reminded of the gospel just because you're there. And I think for anybody, like that is such a, that's invaluable to have that reminder all the time that I have a Savior who loves me, and I know that because there's this guy, Boaz, who I didn't know 6 months ago, who shows up to my practices, and he does it because Jesus tells him to. I think that's a beautiful thing, and so I just, I appreciate you for, you know, committing part of your life to doing that, and, you know, I'm so grateful that Katina Ministries and Love Squared gets to have people like you be a part of what we're doing. So thank you, bro.
Man, I appreciate that.
Of course.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you one more fun question before we end. Mm-hmm. It is Thanksgiving season right now. It's a stereotypical question, but I got to ask it. What are you thankful for this year?
Yeah. Man, I think a lot about just the little things that I look past daily. And it's funny that you asked that. I've been, you know, really trying to work on, the pray continually, always be thankful, which I think is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I don't know. There's a lot of numbers
in my
head.
I'll take you for that. Yeah, I'll take you.
16 through 18. But yeah, just I try to work on that in the daily. But right now, today, it's just, yeah, like roof over my head, just that I know that I have a secure place. There was a lot of days where I wasn't sure what I was going to be able to eat or, what was going to be there at home when I got home. So I'm just grateful for food and, definitely grateful for Haley, grateful for my parents, my awesome sister and her husband, and for, I got some really, really good friends that, you know, can hold me accountable and I hold them accountable and we push each other. And JQ, Grayson, Tat, and Brooks, those are some of my closer friends right now who helping me run my race with perseverance. So grateful for them, and I'm missing a lot, but those are the things I think about, or I try to think about in the daily.
Yeah.
But yes, sir.
That's awesome. Last question. And I've asked this question many times on the show, especially to first-time guests. And I feel like I love asking this question because it helps me get to know the people who are sitting across from me. But it's this. What are you dreaming about right now? What's the dream for Boaz Roebuck?
I dream about having an inner-city ministry that that combats fatherlessness and just the effects of it, especially in Black communities. And it's been a dream, which is weird to say, since my junior year of high school. Yeah. I was listening to a song by Meek Mill of all prophets, and it's called Oodles on Noodles Babies. Alex Vasquez, he knows what's up.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of it. We talk about it all the time. But
Meek Mill's a great theologian.
Dude, he's not a theologian, but he's spitting that song.
Yeah.
And he just, it was literally, it's just a story of his community, of how he grew up. And it ends with this line that is just, it's kind of like blinding to see and to hear, because we never talk about it. But he's like, man, if my dad's in a, you know, graveyard or a jail cell, my mom's working three jobs a day, who's going to babysit? Just to keep, you know, working three jobs a day just to keep the lights on. And it's like, man, that was a big question to me. And I was like, man, who's going to babysit? And, you know, Williamson County, like, that's not something you hear often.
Right.
At least, you know, we're really blessed to have some stable families around us. And so you don't hear that often. And I was struck by that as a 17-year-old. I was like, holy cow, that's actually happening. And and so that's something I think about often. I think about, you know, not wanting, you know, these young men to find themselves needing community and looking towards gangs, because not only do they want to help mom provide, but they also want the protection for their home and themselves and just a place of belonging. Okay. And so my dream is that I could partner with athletes in these cities like Detroit, New York, you know, Nashville, our own backyard. Just hold, you know, fundraisers that we could then turn that money and fill these people's fridges and pantries with food, and help support these single moms and sometimes single dads, and just support these families and try to build back up this community that in America right now is struggling. And so that's my dream. I think it would be awesome. And I look forward to hopefully working on something like that down the line.
Amen, bro.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for taking the time to be here. I want to wish you and Haley and all your family a happy Thanksgiving. Love to have you back on the show sometime.
Yes, sir. I would love to.
You're welcome back anytime.
Yes, sir. It was a blast.
Thanks, bro. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.